Good evening. Thank you for coming out tonight. Let's start with a word of prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this time. You've given us a lot for us to meditate on Your scriptures. We pray that the word be clear and be a blessing to all of us who are present here, and guide us and lead us through the rest of this day. This prayer we make in and through the precious name of Jesus Christ alone. Amen. So, before I venture into today's message, I want to just give a brief background of where I am from. I don't think many of you know that where I am originally from, and slowly lead that topic into today's gospel message. So this is India, and this is Andaman and Nicobar Islands. How many of us here has heard this name for the first time? Okay. So this is like a group of 600 islands. It's a part of India, 600. Majority of them are not inhabited, and the capital is Port Blair, somewhere here. And that's where I was born and raised. My dad worked there for the port for 30 years. He retired a couple of years back. He's here visiting me. And this is about 700 miles from the mainland India. So very cut off, very isolated, but it's very close to the equator. So it's summer throughout the year, just one season. And tropical weather. Small area, like my hometown would be 15 miles in width, that's it, from end to end, and it's sea all around. So some pictures, the island is full of good coral reefs. This is rightfully named Barren Island because it has an active volcano there. South Asia's only active volcano. So everything is completely burned out, just a small island. Lot of different islands and water all around us. So this is basically the place I grew up. This is our assembly here. Our house was very close to this place. I think my dad worked here and my school was in this region. So it's a very small area. And the time when I was there, that was back in 1999, there were around, to my knowledge, within the 5 mile radius of my house, there were at least 10 to 12 churches of various denominations. And next, so my dad retired, and we are originally from this place called Kerala. So he got a job and came here, he retired, and we went back. All our relatives, grandparents, everyone lives here. My wife is from the north, and we are from Kollam, which is south. So I just did a Google of the number of churches in Kerala, and you would see basically south of India, and you'll see a dense, all these red dots represent a church. Could be any church, Catholic, Orthodox. So you see a good number of churches in the south, good in the north. Tanya is from Kozhikode. I am from Kollam, this region. And I was amazed. I was in vacation this year, and 5 mile radius of my house, I could see at least 10 to 20 churches. And Sunday was the most busiest day of all the days there. So the topic today is, how did all this happen? And how did the gospel reach all the corners of the earth? Of course, all our missionaries and the mission-oriented churches like ours sent out various missionaries throughout this earth. The missionaries had a burden to go out and venture out and without anything do God's work. How did it all start? And that's today's message. Let's turn to John chapter 13, verses 36 to 38. We know about the Great Commission, how Christ, after his resurrection, commanded all the apostles to take the gospel, the 11 apostles to take the gospel to his regions of this earth, and how they fulfilled the task boldly through the working of the Holy Spirit, facing persecutions. They did their job to the best of their abilities. And today we'll focus on one such apostle named Peter. And we'll see his life. How was he when he was with Christ? How was he after Christ died and was resurrected? And how he changed, and how, what was the differences in his life? We see through the scriptures that he did for the Christ, and finally he was martyred for Christ. So Peter is one of the apostles that most of us could easily relate to, at least me, because he was an ordinary man and did a lot of mistakes. Even the time when he was with Christ, he did a lot of mistakes, and Christ corrected him many times. One good illustration of this is Peter denying Christ three times. And in this passage that I just mentioned, we see Christ foretelling Peter's denial. And Peter is like, I will do anything for you, Lord, and I can even give my life for you. And Christ says, you will deny me three times. And soon after that, when Christ was arrested, Peter, just to save his life, he denies Christ not just once, but thrice. And we see, even though he was with Christ, he learned all these good things, but he was not bold enough for Christ, and he was very afraid for his life. And even though he promised Christ that he would give his life for him, at the right moment he backed off, and he was very afraid of his life, and he denied Christ. He said, I don't even know Christ, when people try to associate him with Christ. And and we see not just this example, many other examples where Peter makes the wrong choice, makes the wrong decision, and he didn't learn anything. And with that, let's go to another passage. Is John chapter 21, verse 3 to 6. And this is a time when Christ had resurrected. He had appeared before the apostles a couple of times, even before Peter, and Christ promised the Holy Spirit, but they did not yet receive the Holy Spirit, which would happen after 40 days. Peter, at this point in time in his life, did not see, from what I understand, did not see a purpose in his life. And we see in chapter 21, verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to them, we are also going with you. And they went out immediately, got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. The word, Greek word used here is hupago, which means go away, depart, or withdraw. So this verse where Peter says, I'm going fishing. I'm going away from my current life. I'm going back to what I was before. It would mean something like, I don't have a direction in my life. Let me go and do what I do best, that is fishing. Maybe he wanted to earn a living, and he really didn't see what his calling was for, and he decided to give up everything that Christ taught and just go away, go back fishing. And there were two other disciples with him, Thomas and Nathaniel, and both of them looked up to Peter because he was the one who walked on water. He was the bold Peter that had some leadership qualifications, and they, instead of using their own decision, they decided, let me follow Peter. And this scenario applies to us too. Many times we try to venture out to do something without asking for God's will in it, and we think it's right. This is the best thing I could do at this point in time. We don't bring those matters to prayer, only to realize very soon their reward is fruitless. The reward is bitter. So this is a good reminder. And Peter was an expert fisherman. That was his background. And he definitely knew a thing or two about fishing. And they cast their net all night, all over the place. And this is the place where he had fished before. And we see here that they caught nothing, zero. And verse 4, but when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And number 5, and then Jesus said to them, children, do you have any food? And they answered, no. And they said to him, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. So it signifies something. Christ intentionally made that scenario happen. And also we know from this example is that the fish obeyed Christ. And he was the creator. It was under his control. And only when Christ directed and asked Peter to cast a net on the right side of the boat, things happened and they were able to catch some fish. And it was a good lesson for Peter that without Christ, everything is zero. But if we follow Christ and he's the one leading us to do something, definitely there is blessing, there is fruit in that service. And that's the thing we learn from this couple of verses. So after that incident, Christ asked them to come to the shore, and everything is prepared and ready for them. And Christ just wants to sit and have a chat with the disciples, especially Peter, because it was this Peter who denied Christ, and he wanted to talk to him and find out what's going on. So this is the portion we'll look at now, and that's John 21, verses 15 onwards. And Christ, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to them, feed my lambs. The word love that Christ used is a different Greek word. I heard somewhere that in Greek there are 12 different ways you can use the word love. Each has its own level and each can be used in its own context. So the word Christ used was agape love, which is a love of higher degree. And Peter responded using this word, philia, which is a love of lower degree. Why? Because definitely Peter was feeling guilty, and he could not just say that I love you deeply, having denied Christ three times. And maybe this verse clicked in Peter's mind, which we read in Matthew chapter 10, verse 33. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So Peter is very guilty, and he could not use the same word to respond to Christ. And because after being with Christ all these years, he completely denied Christ. But still Christ says, feed my sheep. And Christ uses the same deep love twice to ask him, and Peter uses the same filial love to respond, yes, Father, I love you. And Christ the third time humbled Peter by using this word, filial love, to ask, do you love me? And at this point, Peter being humbled, he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And this feed my sheep applies to all of us who are believers, who are entrusted with some responsibility, whether you're a parent or a teacher, whatever be the case. Christ wants us to take care of the blood-bought children, blood-bought soul, and that's the task he has assigned us, feed my sheep, and that's the task he assigns Peter to do. And I think this is the context where it changes Peter a lot. He gets transformed, and he's not the same Peter anymore. And he goes on to do great things for Christ. So with that episode, we move on to the book of Acts and see a new kind of Peter, starting Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 36. And this is Peter's first sermon. And I wouldn't take you through the entire verses, but if you have time, take a look at it. It's very motivating, and definitely it touched the souls of all the people who were present there. And at that day, Peter, based on this sermon, and through the working of Holy Spirit, 3,000 people were saved. We don't see that happen today. And that's God's working through Peter. And the next thing that happens is in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 11, a very famous miracle. And it is the first apostolic miracle. So far, they have only seen Christ doing all these miracles for them, and they never know how this works. And we see Peter, a beggar asking Peter for money, and Peter says, look at us, and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And with that command, that man starts walking. And that's the power that God gave to Peter for that period of time to spread the gospel. And with that, so we see a big transformation in Peter's life. And he has changed. He is becoming bold. He is doing great things for Christ. And chapter 4 onwards, we'll see how Peter was persecuted and all the Jewish elders and rulers, they didn't want Peter to preach about Christ, and they thought that if we don't control it now, it will spread more. And Peter was put in prison. He comes out and he is bold enough to share the gospel in front of all the rulers and all the elders. That's what we see in Acts chapter 4 verses 5 to 12. And it is the same Peter who just recently had denied Christ, and because he was afraid of the same group of people. And now we see the same Peter bold enough to stand in front of them and share the gospel. And that's the transformation that happened in his life. And we see God working in him and giving him boldness. And that's just the beginning. And from that point on, we see Peter doing great miracles. He raised a woman from the dead, Acts 9:36-38, something that only Christ had done before. And he was persecuted several times, and that didn't slow him down. And he wrote the two epistles, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And that is a transformation, the change that we see in Peter's life. And that's just the beginning, how we see the gospel spread across all over the world. Though the examples I gave, like Kerala and Andamans, it's not a right representation. Those are the places where there are more Christians. But if you go north, there aren't many churches, or there aren't many Christians. There are mostly Hindu-dominated areas. But still, the gospel, people are venturing, and through the working of Holy Spirit, through the boldness that Christ gives, they are going and seeking the kingdom of God, and without any fear, they are doing God's work. And that's something we can take away from Peter's life. And it's the same Christ that died for Peter also died for us. And he, through his blood, created a new person in us and transformed us into a new creation. And that's the promise that Christ offers today. And it's free. And all you have to do is accept Christ, and he will start doing a good work in you, and he will transform you from that point onwards, just like in Peter's life, and give you the power of Holy Spirit to do things for him. And we pray that this also challenges us, that we be like Peter, seeking heavenly things, be bold, not worry about too much about earthly things, and let that be a transformation in our lives. May his name be glorified.